Next is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 25th Chapter, text number 36, given on November 18th, 1991, in Vrindavan.
Vijana Vallabha Giribharatari Yasoda Nandana Yasajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Yasajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Bonachari Yamuna Tira Bonachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribharatari Yasoda Nandana Gajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribharatari Yasoda Nandana Gajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Banachari Yamuna Tira Banachari
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramhamsa Paya Vajrakacharya Stodra Sati Sri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramhamsa Paya Vajrakacharya Stodra Sati Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Ananta Gaudi Vaishnava Indra Ki Iskand Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Premsagho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Basri Gaur, Bhakti Vrindaki, Sri Sri Radha Krishna, Gopi Gopinath, Shamakunda Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhan Ki, Vrindavindam Ki, Mayapodam Ki, Jagannath Swami Ki, Yamunamai Ki, Gangamai Ki, Tosi Devi Ki, Bhakti Devi Ki, Samaveda Bhakti Vrindaki, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, The Glories of Devotional Service, Text 36, Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tair Darshaniya Vayavair Udara. Vilasaha Sekshita Vama Suktai. Ritatmano Rita Pranams Chabaktir. anich chato me gatim anvim prayungte.
Anich chato me gatim anvim prayungte.
Translation. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, and hearing his very pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he gets liberation without separate endeavor. Purport. There are three divisions of devotees, first class, second class, and third class. Even the third class devotees are liberated souls. It is explained in this verse that although they do not have knowledge, simply by seeing the beautiful decoration of the deity in the temple, the devotee is absorbed in thought of him and loses all other consciousness. Simply by fixing oneself in Krishna consciousness, engaging the senses in the service of the Lord, one is imperceptibly liberated. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Simply by discharging uncontaminated devotional service, as prescribed in the scriptures, one becomes equal to Brahman. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Brahmabhuyaya kopate. This means that the living entity in his original state is Brahman, because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Brahman. But simply because of his forgetfulness of his real nature as an eternal servitor of the Lord, he is overwhelmed and captured by Maya. His forgetfulness of his real constitutional position is Maya. Otherwise, he is eternally Brahman. When one is trained to become conscious of his position, he understands that he is the servitor of the Lord. Brahman refers to a state of self-realization. Even the third-class devotee who is not advanced in knowledge of the absolute truth but simply offers obeisances with great devotion, thinks of the Lord, sees the Lord in the temple, and brings forth flowers and fruits to offer to the deity, becomes imperceptibly liberated. Shraddhayanvita. With great devotion, the devotees offer worshipful respects and paraphernalia to the deity. The deities of Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi and Narayan, and Rama and Sita are very attractive to devotees, so much so that when they see the statue decorated in the temple of the Lord, they become fully absorbed in thought of the Lord. That is the state of liberation. In other words, it is confirmed herewith that even a third-class devotee is in the transcendental position above those who are trying for liberation by speculation or by other methods. Even great impersonalists like Shukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras were attracted by the beauty of the deities in the temple, by the decorations and by the aroma of tulsi offered to the Lord, and they became devotees. Even though they were in the liberated state, instead of remaining impersonalists, they were attracted by the beauty of the Lord and became devotees. Here, the word vilasa is very important. Vilasa means the activities or pastimes of the Lord. It is a prescribed duty in temple worship that not only should one visit the temple to see the deity nicely decorated, but at the same time he should hear the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or some similar literature, which is regularly recited in the temple. It is the system in Vrindavan that in every temple there is recitation of the Shastras. Even third-class devotees who have no literary knowledge or no time to read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita get the opportunity to hear the pastimes of the Lord. In this way, their minds may remain always absorbed in the thought of the Lord, his form, his activities, and his transcendental nature. This state of Krishna consciousness is a liberated stage. Lord Chaitanya therefore recommended five important processes in the discharge of devotional service. 1. To chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 2. To associate with devotees and serve them as far as possible. 3. To hear Srimad Bhagavatam. 4. To see the decorated temple and the deity, and if possible, 5. To live in a place like Vrindavan or Mathura. These five items alone can help a devotee to achieve the highest perfectional stage. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita and here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That third class devotees can also imperceptibly achieve liberation is accepted in all Vedic literatures. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Auravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Pastitade Satarane. The last line in the verse, thus in spite of his unwillingness he gets liberation without separate endeavor, is an explanation for what sometimes appears to us as a kind of contradiction. That is, that as we previously heard, the pure devotee refuses all liberations, impersonal liberation, and even the liberation of going to the same planet as Krishna and getting the spiritual body like Krishna and so on, even if those liberations are offered by the Lord. But you have that statement on the one hand, and then so many urgings in the scriptures and from the acharyas that one should aspire to attain the spiritual world and get out of this repeated cycle of birth and death. So the reconciliation of these apparent opposite attitudes will be developed more by Prabhupada in some of the next verses and purports. But even in this sentence, we see that although the devotee is unwilling, that means anicchita, he doesn't have a desire, he gets liberation. Although the word liberation is used in the translation, in the word-to-word, gatim was abode. So this refers to the going to the supreme abode. So we may examine a little, what is this unwillingness or not having a desire to go to the spiritual abode by the pure devotee. So one meaning is that he doesn't perform his service expecting to go back to Godhead as a reward. You remember when Prahlad Maharaj I am not a businessman, I'm performing my service out of devotion. So it's almost like an insult to the devotee to think that the Lord should think the service is being offered with some idea that I'll be liberated and go back to Godhead. There's no idea like that. Another meaning is that when one is fully engaged in devotional service, he's already liberated. Whether in this world, although it usually is beset with so many miseries, this world becomes as good as Vaikuntha. Vishvam Sunjay. What is it? Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, I think. For the pure devotee, he sees the whole universe as perfect, happy. And what to speak if he goes to the spiritual world? So he's already liberated. He does not have to ask for something. And another meaning is that a pure devotee does not think he is qualified to go to the spiritual world. Prabhupada says in later purports, because we've become a devotee in this lifetime and we're behaving nicely, does not mean we're always devotees. That's not possible. For so many lifetimes, and this lifetime also, for most of us, we committed so many sinful activities. So although at the time of initiation we have heard that our karma is removed, still so many impressions of sinful life remain and attachments. So the devotee does not honestly think that he will go back to Godhead. So he's not aspiring for that, and he's not hoping for it with any sense of selfish desire. Nadanam na janam na sundarim kavitam bhaja gadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani ishvare bhavatar bhaktara haitsukhi trayi. This is an important statement about the expectation that there will be many lifetimes, and I don't pray for anything like ending my future lives. I don't expect that, so why should I pray for it? I simply want devotional service life after life. Janme Janme Prabhu Sai, we chant in the Guru Pooj. Life after life, you are my Lord and Master. And then Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanivas Janame Janame Avilas. My perfection of life, Narottam Das Thakur, is to associate with devotees, hear about Krishna life after life. So even though he thinks like this for so many reasons, that's his side, the devotee's side, but the Lord wants to take him back and does so. But this is one simple way to reconcile it. Although he does not aspire to go in his humility, in his purity, in his satisfaction, he is so fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, Krishna wants him back in his rightful place in the spiritual abode. And Krishna can do that even if there are some discrepancies. Krishna is all-powerful. He can bring the devotee to the perfectional stage and bring him back to Godhead. Yeah. However, the devotee is also, at the same time, meant to endeavor for his perfection. If we say that he's satisfied to render service anywhere, it doesn't mean he's complacent. But he's always trying to improve his surrender to Krishna, whether Krishna wants to bring him back to Godhead or he may remember Krishna in the next life. And part of that desire to improve will be the desire to remember Krishna and to return to Krishna's abode. And this is promised by Krishna. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vadi tat pata chakvari ham puna janma naiti mameti sojana. That if a devotee understands my appearance and activities in the world, when he dies, he does not come back. He goes to my abode. So these are the other, if we want to make it a simple kind of thing, this is the other side of it. The stress on getting out and the fact of the transcendental system that one does get out when he reaches the perfectional stage and he enters Krishna's eternal pastimes, which is his eternal home. So that Janma Karma verse is very important to establish that the devotee, when he reaches the mature stage, goes to the eternal abode. And then many other places in Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Mam Avijanati Yavanyas Chasmi Tatpata Tato Mam Tatpato Gyatva Vishate Tadanantaram. When the devotee is fully absorbed in consciousness of me, Krishna says, then he enters my abode. And Prabhupada explains that in opposition to Mayavadi ideas that Vishate means some kind of merging, but it means you actually go in your individual spiritual body into the abode of Krishna. And then in the next verse he says, despite all difficulties, whatever he may be doing in this world, at the end the devotee achieves my abode. And Prabhupada says there is guaranteed, there is no doubt about it, he enters the eternal abode of Krishna. There's also a couple of urgings by Prabhupada that have been favorites of mine, phrases that he mentions in his purports in Bhagavad Gita. One is in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita. This is against any idea of complacency. He says, one should desire and hanker after that supreme kingdom, for one when attains that kingdom, he does not have to return to this material world. And then later, a similar statement. In other words, the natural response The right response for a devotee when he hears about Krishna and Krishna's abode is to really want to go there and want to be there. One should be captivated by this information. He should desire to transfer himself to that eternal world and extricate himself from this false reflection of reality. So this is the dullness of the materialist. He doesn't want to go. And Prabhupada wrote Easy Journey to Other Planets. He said, one gentleman just heard the title and he was very interested. He said, Swamiji, can we actually go to the higher planets? And Prabhupada said, yes. And then he said, but can we return? And Prabhupada said, no, this is, you go to this abode, you never return again. And he said, oh, I do not want that. They want to come back. So not many people are interested in going back to Godhead, Prabhupada said. But if one is interested, then one should fully prosecute devotional service by all means, as stated in the Chatur Shlok, by all means available in every way, one should approach the supreme goal. Now, about three or four times in the purport, this phrase imperceptible liberation is mentioned. So, what does that mean? It can mean that the devotee may not notice exactly how the Lord is making arrangements for him to go back to Godhead. We may not even notice how we're becoming detached from material life, but it's happening, rest assured, by the practice of devotional service. Prabhupada gave an example that when you get in an airplane, they're very comfortable, and you may sit down and start reading or fall asleep, and you don't even notice that the plane has gone down the runway and it's taken off until you're a few thousand feet in the air, and then you look out the window, oh, we're so far above the ground. So you took off and it was imperceptible to you. So our advancement, he compared that to how a devotee may advance in Krishna consciousness, and either out of humility or just not being aware of the mysteries of the process, you're actually becoming detached, you're actually becoming liberated. Liberated doesn't mean you have to have four heads and six arms, but you become detached from matter and you become attracted to Krishna. This imperceptible liberation shouldn't be taken to mean, however, that you don't have to do anything, it just happens. Another word we may sometimes use is automatic. That word has to be used carefully. Automatic means that if you do the right things, then it will, because it's a science, bhakti will produce the result. But it doesn't mean without doing, prosecuting Krishna consciousness, it will happen so-called automatically. So to actually achieve this goal, either take it as fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness in this lifetime or being transferred by the will of Krishna to the spiritual world, we have to prosecute Krishna consciousness very consciously and very carefully. Just like we say, janma karma cha me divyam. That has to be understood and realized in a deep way. It doesn't mean that you can just write in an academic way on an exam what is the nature of Krishna's pastimes and appearance in the world. But you if you do that, if you get the answer right on your VIHE examination, it's a guarantee that you will go to Krishna at the end of this life. Not necessarily. It's not automatic in that sense. It's not imperceptible liberation in that sense. But we actually have to understand love to hear about Krishna and not want to hear about anything else, and actually pursue the transcendental system. The word liberation, for example, can be taken in so many ways. It can be taken as Prabhupada sometimes uses it, a general description of becoming free. All the devotees are liberated because they don't smoke cigarettes and go to nightclubs. That's a kind of liberation. Another kind of liberation is to have not even the slightest material desire in your thoughts. Another liberation is to go to the Brahma Jyoti. Another is to go to Vaikuntha. Another is to go to Goloka Vrindavan. So it's a general word. So you don't get imperceptibly sent to Goloka Vrindavan, but you have to deliberately develop attachment to Krishna in a particular form, and then you attain that destination. Yayatam mam prapadyante tam stitava bhajami aham. As they approach me, I reciprocate. We cannot go back to Godhead by our own endeavor. That's Krishna descends and brings us. But as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. The main ingredient is the desire to go. Simple as that. If you want to go strongly enough, that it's called lolyam, then you qualify and your life becomes so shaped. There's a verse by Rupa Goswami that describes this, and Prabhupada, he sometimes explained it, putting it into a little dialogue between a person inquiring about going back to Godhead. So someone says, if you hear that Krishna Prema, love of Godhead, is available in the marketplace, then you should go right away and purchase it. So the other man says, yes, that sounds good. I will go and purchase it. What is the price? The price is lolyam, your desire to have it. So then the aspiring customer says, that sounds all right. I have that desire. I'll go and purchase it. But the other person says, no, no. That lolyam price, that you cannot attain for many, many lifetimes. So again, it's not that we will be liberated imperceptibly without desire. But if you develop the lolyam by hearing about Krishna, by associating with devotees who have some of that lolyam, by prosecuting these five activities that we read here, then we can develop it. And then we'll be imperceptibly brought by Krishna. So, the actual passage of a soul to the spiritual abode is very rare. And even among devotees who practice, it is rare. In Nectar of Devotion, it is described, devotional service is rarely achieved. So people may come to Krishna consciousness, but we have to intensify our desire in order to achieve pure devotional service. It doesn't happen automatically. Why is it rare? In Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada says, it is rare because by giving devotional service, Krishna has to give himself. So he's very reluctant. He'll give you anything else you want, but to be purchased by Krishna, that's rare, that he will say, yes, you have purchased me. Hmm. And only when you've done that can you go with Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, because there Krishna is purchased. He's a friend, he's a lover, he's a child. In the situation of, with all awe and reverence removed, Krishna is purchased by the pure devotee. And then, in that Nectar of Devotion, to further help us in this context to understand that Krishna consciousness is very specific cultivation, a specific desire and practice, we read the other characteristic of devotional service as attracts Krishna. Devotional service attracts Krishna because Krishna attracts everyone, but devotional service attracts Krishna. The highest emblem of devotional service is Srimati Radharani. So Krishna is called Madan Mohan. He attracts Cupid. And Radharani attracts even Krishna. So she's called Madan Mohan Mohani, the attractor of Cupid. So then Prabhupada writes about this point: to perform devotional service means to follow in the footsteps of Radharani, and devotees in Vrindavan put themselves under the care of Radharani in order to achieve perfection in their devotional service. In other words, devotional service is not an activity of the material world. It is directly under the control of Radharani. God is not a vague idea in Krishna consciousness, and the path is not a vague one. But we are so fortunate as to have all this specific direction, and to the degree that we cultivate it, then we will reach the supreme goal as taught by Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, to join in Krishna's pastimes in this lifetime and in the next. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So, we can stop here for any questions or comments. Yes.
Thank you for a very thoughtful class. Just towards the end of the class, you said that Golok Vrindavan, to go there, you have to be in the position of purchasing Krishna. Now, Prabhupada has said in one Prabhupada in the purport that mostly the followers of Lord Chaitanya, they go to Golok Vrindavan. And it's also said that Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, it's for saving the whole universe, for saving many, many jivas. So on one hand, going to Golok Vrindavan seems very rare. And on the other hand, Lord Chaitanya's movement is for sending living entities back by the many, many to Golok Vrindavan. This seems to be a contradiction. Also, related to this is that although we see many devotees practicing devotional service, it seems very few have come to approaching the level of perfection.
I once asked Prabhupada a similar
question.
I said that to go to the Loka Vrindavan, you have to purchase Krishna. So this seems to be very rare that someone can do this. But on the other hand, by Lord Chaitanya's movement, we understand that many, many people are meant to take the Krishna consciousness and practice it. So that there appears to be a contradiction, the idea of so many all over the world taking the Krishna consciousness with the goal of going to Goloka Vrindavan, and statements that say that it's very rare that anyone will go. And then he had another question, that it seems that even among the devotees who do join Krishna conscious movement, that not so many of them develop to a very...
In my estimation, it may be wrong. It appears that not many are developing towards the... getting close to the perfection.
Not many are getting close to the perfection. So I asked not the exact question, but a similar one to Prabhupada on the morning walk once in Mayapur. I said, sometimes you say that we don't expect many people to take to Krishna consciousness, just a few people will take to it. But then sometimes you seem to, but in this lecture this morning, I said, Prabhupada had spoken in a dramatic way, multiplying. He said something like, and so then there will be 1,000 devotees, and then 10,000 devotees, and then 100,000 devotees, and then 1,000,000, and everybody was saying, Jai! As Prabhupada was visioning this increase of so many devotees. So I pointed out that he had said that, but at other times he said, very few will take to it. So then he replied, he said, it depends on your preaching. That was an interesting answer. It depends on your preaching. So it's not just a set thing, like some mechanic of the universe that will take place in a destined way, but if the Krishna consciousness members purify themselves and preach and do the other thing that you mentioned, develop themselves to the perfection, then they'll be like magnets, people will come, and everyone will be elevated to the highest standard. So it's in our hands to develop within the next 10,000 years. That's why personal development is not different than preaching, because preaching propaganda reaches out and brings so many people in, and then once we've got them, to bring them higher, we ourselves have to have some taste. So that's one attempt to answer that that question. It depends on your preaching, or it depends on your desire. Similar question, at least related. Someone would ask Prabhupada, how long does it take to attain perfect Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada would say, it may not take place in millions of lifetimes, and it may take place in a minute. So how can that be? It depends on the individual's surrender. If you surrender, then you can get the goal. That which is rare, and another way to answer that is that still, even if you consider that all the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement have a good chance of going back to Godhead, still they're rare in the total population of the material world. Now, so we're already rare, but now we have to actually become qualified. Yeah.
Another question which came up during the class. There's a famous shloka in the Bhagavatam 11th canto in which it's stated that Prabhupada used to explain it, you don't need to take a certificate from anybody that you're becoming advanced, but you can feel it, just like a person, he doesn't need anyone to tell him now you're becoming satisfied by eating, you can personally feel it. This is a commonly asked question, but on the other hand, one who is becoming advanced, who's actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, he feels himself not to be advanced. So how do these two, again, an apparent contradiction, how is that understood?
In humility, we hear that one who actually develops pure love of God has the symptom that he doesn't feel he has any love of God. That's one symptom. The symptom of one who has attained pure love of God, one symptom is he doesn't think he has it. But he has other symptoms. He has no desire for hearing material things or any sense gratification. So no one has to tell him that he is or isn't Krishna consciousness. He knows what he likes to do. He knows that he likes to serve Krishna and he doesn't like material things. But still, Krishna is so beautiful and attractive and he feels himself so unworthy that he also feels that he has no love for Krishna. But still, if you press him for his interests, you'll see that his interests are entirely in serving Krishna and worshipping Krishna and chanting Krishna's names, and he has no a minute without Krishna seems like 12 years. Especially if objectively you observe his symptoms, you will see that he is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness and satisfied there. He takes pleasure in hearing about Krishna, but he thinks he himself is unworthy and does not have love. But Krishna is certainly lovable to him, and he knows that in his heart and in his mind. So it's his own personal worth, his own personal devotion that he sees as negligible. But Krishna, he sees, no one has to tell him that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is the all-attractive person, and that Krishna's service and that Krishna's shastras are the all-in-all. That he knows and that he performs. But still he thinks, I am nothing. In fact, the more he gets attracted to Krishna, the more he thinks he doesn't have any love for Krishna. Because if I loved Krishna, then how could I live? So it can be reconciled like that. Yenatmas supersedati. He knows his self is satisfied by performing devotional service. No one else has to tell him. Yes. 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 Ah. The question is about this phrase, imperceptible liberation. In describing liberation, I said it can be taken in a general way to mean free of desire, and then Brahmajyoti liberation and liberation to the spiritual planet. So the question is, when we say that a person is imperceptibly liberated, does that refer only to the general kinds of liberation? Or which liberation? I explained that imperceptible can mean that without the devotees knowing it, the Lord makes an arrangement that he shall go back to Godhead. In that sense, it's imperceptible to him. And as we were just discussing, he thinks, I'm not going back to Godhead, I'll be going to hell. So he doesn't think he's going back to Godhead. But actually, he's completely Krishna conscious. And Krishna sees it and wants that devotee to come to him. So to the devotee, he's imperceptibly taken all of a sudden. So it doesn't have to mean that only it refers only to a third-class devotee or to the impersonal state. If we take imperceptible to mean like that, that the devotee has no such hope, but Krishna, on his own side, brings him back. That's all I meant. But I was also trying to make the point that no liberation will happen imperceptibly. No liberation or even advancement will take place imperceptibly if by imperceptible we interpret it to mean that it's just going to happen by my mechanical or automatic lackadaisical performance of Krishna consciousness. That's how I was explaining. One more, yeah, Mark.
Yeah, I just... It's down the same line. I was just thinking about an incident that happened when a so-called leading devotee left, criticizing ISKCON and criticizing Prabhupada and even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and he sent a letter to Srila Prabhupada, and he was listing a few items that he felt were wrong with ISKCON, or the way that Prabhupada had given us Krishna consciousness. And one of the things he was criticizing was the fact that we only chant 16 rounds a day, whereas he quoted some verse where it says that you have to chant 64 rounds a day, otherwise you can't get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he said, so if we chant 64 rounds a day, then automatically Krishna will give us Krishna prana. So we read this letter to Prabhupada just to get his responses to these points. So when Prabhupada heard this particular point, then he said, that is karma mimamsa. He said, first of all, I never said only 16 rounds. I said at least 16 rounds. He said, I have no objection if you chant all day. But he said, you can't do that. That's the problem. But then he said, anyway, he said, this idea that if you do something and automatically Krishna is obliged to give you, he said, that is karma mimamsa. He said, Krishna can give you or not give you. That's up to him. So that's just another reflection,
yeah,
automatic.
It's very personal between Krishna and ourselves, not karma mimamsa, that Krishna is obliged by our so many lacks of chanting or anything. So we have to please Srila Prabhupada, and then we'll be imperceptibly liberated. All right, just one more, then we'll close.
There are many statements in scripture, but you're still commemorating temple, taking bhasa, yamuna, and other things, you get liberation. So how do you understand?
There are many statements in the scripture that just by circumambulating tulsi or taking a bath at a certain time in a holy river, you get liberation. Well, how do you take that? In Nectar of Devotion, there's that passage where Prabhupada states one of those and then says, this is true, but not for everyone. It is true for some. These statements are true, but not for everyone. They're true for some. But we should have faith in them to attract us away from the material world. So what does that mean? They're true for some and not others. It would mean that if you do it nicely, if you do it rightly, then for you, you may get liberated just by that one thing. Or if Krishna is pleased in your case, he can liberate you. But not just, but not in all cases, is what he says there. So we don't minimize those statements, but they're like sutras. They have to be actually explained and unfolded according to circumstances, and then you see the truth of them. Just by chanting Hare Krishna once, you can go back to Godhead. But what kind of chanting? What do you do after you chant? Well, so many things have to be explained, but the sutra is true, but everything isn't in that statement. And as he says, it's true for some, not for all. All right, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Rohini Nandana Jaya Jaya Vrindavana Vasi Yata Jana Jaya Dvija Patni Jaya Naga Kanyaga Jaya Bhakti Seya Hara Pailo Govinda Charana Mandala Jaya Jaya Radha Jaya Jaya Rasa Leela Sabahanola Hare Rama, Hare Rama
Transcendental realm of Vrindavan. All glories to the three presiding deities of Vrindavan, Govinda, Gopinath, and Madan Mohan. All glories to Shyamakunda and Radha Kunda, which are beautiful garden pools belonging to Radha and Krishna, and are the places of the pinnacle of their leelas. Glories to Govardhan Hill and to the Yamuna, or Kalindi, and to the great forest. Glories to Keshigat, where Krishna killed the horse demon, and to the Bamsibata tree, where Krishna used to sit and call the gopis with his flute. Glories to the 12 groves of Vrindavan. These places set the background for the son of Nanda Maharaj to play his pastimes. Glories to Krishna's divine mother and father, Nanda Yasoda, and to the cowherd men. Glories to Krishna's friends, the cowherd boys headed by Sri Dama. All glories to the cows and calves of Vrindavan. All glories to Radha's mother and father, Kirtida and Vrishabhanu, and to her grandmother, who is the personality of Yogamaya. All glories to the Lord of the Gopis of Vrindavan, and to Krishna's Brahmana friends, Sudama and Madhumangala. Glories to Ramagat, glories to the son of Rohini, Balaram, and glories to all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. All glories to the Nagapatnis. All glories to the wives of the Vedic Brahmanas, who left their husbands and surrendered at the lotus feet of Krishna, Govinda, and were bestowed with pure bhakti. Glories to the arena of the Rasa dance and Radha Shyam. Glories to the Rasa Leela, which captures the minds of all. All glories to the ever-shining mellow of Parakiya Bhava, the supreme platform of the unalloyed, lawless love of the gopis. With the memory of the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda's Shakti, Sri Janava Devi, Yogamaya, Krishna Das, who describes himself here as very fallen and lowly, sings the names of the Lord.
Akata samuha loila sate kila nagara bhavi
Tatai tatai bhajalato Gana gana tai janjiro
Tatai tatai bhajaloko Gana gana tai janjiro
Srimata
dala dala sonara anga charane nupura bate kunda marava yadava boina bolo vipatana boi kunda marava yadava hari Olena bolo re bandana bori Vichini dave se kelo e vati Devata sa e vesati Vichini dava se kelo re rati Divasa sharira sa de Vimana tulava madava deo Vaek, vaek e koi Mana dula ba mana ba deha, baya ki koro ba ba na keha. Edena ba jile ya sura suka, charme kuri vibhaji. Edena ba jile ya sura suka, charme podi belate. Udita tapana hoi le as Dina gelo boli hoi vibhyasa Api keno api alasa hoi Nabaja ego evaji Api keno ebi alasa hoi Nabaja rita yarante Ivana anita tana asan Sae na vita Nibbana anitya jana hasar Tahe nana vidha viparabha Tamasraya koi jata nitumi Sakae papa nagaji Namasraya kori jata nitumi Sakaha papa nagaji Vera Kalyana Sadhanakam Jagate Yasi E Madhuranam Avijja Tumi Ratapana Rupi Vitakane Vivaji Avijja Tumi Ratapana Rupi Vitakane Vivaji Krishna Namasuda Koi Apan Jodo Apakati Krishna Namasuda Korya Pan Yudai Bhakati Vinodapan Nama Vinati Chumai Kohan Choda Vakuma Babaji, Vijamani Gora Amani Jagi, Makata Samoa Loya Sati, Kela Nagara Bhakti, Makata Samoa Loya Sati, Kela Nagara Bhakti. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
When the rising sun appeared in the east, the jewel of the twice-born, Lord Gaurasundar, awakened, and taking his devotees with him, he went all over the countryside, towns and villages, and played the madrunga, and the cymbals chimed in time. Lord Gauranga's shimmering golden features danced, and his footbells jingled. All the devotees chanted the names, Mukunda, Madhava, Yadava, and Hari, their mouths being filled with the vibrations. They would announce to the still sleeping people, "You spend your nights uselessly sleeping and your days decorating your bodies. You have achieved such a rare human body, but you do not care for this gift. You remain not serving the darling of Yashoda and slowly fall through your last moments to death. With every rising and setting of the sun, a day passes and is lost. Then why do you remain idle and not serve the Lord of the heart? This temporary life is full of various miseries. Take shelter of the holy name as your only business. To penetrate the darkness of ignorance and bless everyone's heart, the holy name has risen, like the shining sun. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name. There is nothing but the name to be had in the 14 worlds. It has filled the soul of Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur."